for as long as possible. Thank you for giving Kelly's the opportunity to serve you with dignity, respect, and compassion, which has been our foundational qualities throughout our ministry. Kelly's is seeking attendants and caregivers with the same qualities of dignity, respect, and compassion that have sustained this agency. Again, thank you for 27 years of service to Central Louisiana. Kelly's is an equal opportunity employer. For more information, 318-793-8453 or 1-800-913-7784. The website is KellysServiceHouston.com. Kelly's Sitting Service is another proud sponsor of KAYT-KQJO-FM.
Circling the globe with the glory of the gospel, this is the Movement of Christ broadcast, featuring the teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II. Preaching the uncompromised Word of God, Dr. Montgomery is pastor of the Greater King David Baptist Church, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and ministers to the needs of all people through the love of God. Join us now for an anointed message from God's Word for your life today.
Our study today is found in Leviticus chapter 1, verse 9. And it's an interesting word because it literally deals with us understanding how God requires in Leviticus, which is takes its name from the tribe of Levi, which was considered a priestly tribe, and giving regulations on how to give burnt offerings, etc., so that God would receive them and that they would be a sweet-smelling savor to the Lord. Leviticus chapter 1, verse 9 says, "But his inwards and his legs shall he wash in water, and the priest shall burn all on the altar to be a burnt sacrifice, an offering made by fire of a sweet savor unto the Lord." And so our message was entitled, "What does your life smell like before God?" And it's an interesting question because it was designed to cause you to evaluate your own life. And then upon evaluating your life, hopefully you will be able to elevate your life. Because the truth of the matter is, the record shows that if we do not evaluate and elevate, then we exterminate ourselves. And so we're going to walk through some of the texts. And so I was not through with that message, and I'm not through with the teaching of it. And so it means literally a sweet savor or a sour stench, one of the two, and you just need to decide, what does your life smell like before God? Well, let's look at what the definition of smell is. It is to perceive something by its odor or scent. To perceive something by its odor or scent. Second, to give off or have a particular odor or scent. Now, whether you're writing these down or not, I definitely want you to hear this so that you'll understand what we're talking about in more detail. Thirdly, to give out an offensive odor or stench. To have a trace or suggestion. Next, a pervading appearance, character, quality, or influence. Now, some synonyms are aroma, essence, flavor, fragrance, savor, scent, stench, or stink. And so, you know, the importance of your sense of smell, you know how important it is to you and how your sense of smell either makes you hungry or not, thirsty or not. It literally draws you in and influences your wants and your desires. How many times have you just smelled something that really smelled real good? Talking about eating now. And you might not have been hungry, but the smell was so alluring that it just made you hungry. You know, just the opposite of that. You smelled something that was really repulsive and just kind of made you want to back away from it and certainly not partake of it in any sense. And so smell is important to the natural existence of our lives and the quality of our lives. But here's what you know from the Word of God. Smell is important to God. Smell is important to our Heavenly Father. And so there are things that happen as relates to that. And there is a commonly used phrase that's called a stench in God's nostrils. And these are some of the things that happen in the Word of God, both in the Old Testament and in the New Testament. And so when you continue in the message and see how this relates not only historically to Israel, but how it relates pragmatically to the people of God today. God is still concerned about how your life smells before Him. You know, mothers and parents and older siblings who have had younger kids, whatever the case, who were, still in diapers, you know, you go to play with them and they're so cute, but when that stench hits your nose, something needs to happen. Because you can't enjoy the baby with the stench on the baby, can you? If you do, you're just nasty. That's something wrong with that. If you don't want change, you need to tell somebody the baby needs attention right now. Even stores, when you go in, and I've gone in the gas station, et cetera, and they've had signs on the store, on the door to the restrooms, et cetera. If the restroom needs attention, contact management, turn on the light, whatever the case is, because they recognize that one of the conveniences of stopping and getting gas is sometimes you have to go to the restroom. But if you start realizing that that's a nasty place, you might not even stop to go get gas. If you got other business to take care of, you find another place that has cleaner restrooms. Now it's simple, it's basic, but if something like that can repulse you, can turn away business, how much more can that do to God for us and against us in the nostrils of God? Let's just go to one of the current issues in Genesis chapter 13 and 13. And Lot and Abram were going to be separated because Lot was going to live in, Abram rather, in the land of Canaan, and Lot was living in the plains near Sodom. Now, you know the story of Sodom and Gomorrah, but Genesis 13 and 13 makes clear, the word says, but the men of Sodom were wicked and sinners before the Lord, how? Exceedingly. Now, it's one thing to sin, it's another thing to be exceedingly sinful. Now, we all sin. John, as a matter of fact, tells the saved folk, if you say you have, present tense, no sin, you're lying. You got this messed up and mixed up. Because just because you're saved don't mean that you don't sin anymore. But what is the difference here is a lifestyle rather than an essence or an instance of sin. All, again, are human, and so therefore we are prone to the human temptations, the human trials, et cetera, et cetera. All that's very real, every day. Some days you can walk through and make it through almost without fail, without sin. But there are other days you wake up messed up. And it just gets worse throughout the day. And you're glad that day has ended. You know, one day you praise the Lord. I mean, things can happen so bad till you wind up saying words that are not written in the Word. Now, some of y'all gonna look like you don't know what I'm talking about. Make you say stuff you ain't said since you were, you know, in the world. I mean, but just depending on how bad it gets. And the truth of the matter is, we're fleshly, we're human, and we have to deal with that. And Paul said he has to bring his body under subjection, which means your flesh isn't voluntarily, just because you've been saved, gonna act right. Flesh wants things of the flesh, of the world, of the natural. The flesh is not spiritual. The spirit wants the things of the spirit, of the word, of God. And there is, Paul says, a war going on, a spiritual conflict on the inside. And anybody who's not having that conflict is either on one side or the other. And here is the truth. We can't live 24 hours, 7 days a week, 365 days a year in the spirit. It would be wonderful if we could, but that's not the case. Because there are things that we do that grieve the spirit, that pulls the spirit and separates him from us. And so we've got to get things right in order for him to dwell on the inside of us in a continual mode of operation. So knowing these things, there are going to be essences and issues with things that we have to fight and grapple with sometime. And that's things, thank God for the Holy Ghost who gives us power to be able to overcome those things, because the reality is the closer you get to God, the more the enemy is going to try and pull you away from God. The further you are away from God, the more the enemy has control over your life. And there is less pulling and tugging in your spirit about certain things. And so here, these men were exceedingly sinful. They had been turned over to a reprobate mind. In other words, they had no conviction, they had no feeling, they had no regard, they had no respect for what God had to say. They didn't get no kind of unction about it being wrong. They didn't care about it. So God was trying to say, no, you don't want to deal with and dwell with folk like that. Here's the problem with maintaining friends and fellowships with things like that. Sooner or later, it's going to contaminate you. Sooner or later. It may not totally do it, but in some regard or respect, it's going to contaminate. It's like finding a cancer in the body. If you don't contain it and cure it, it's going to spread and contaminate and kill you. Amen. Did you hear what I just said? So that's why, you know, when they, give you x-rays and MRIs, et cetera, and they're trying to find cancer and things that are messed up in the body, they want to catch it early enough so they can contain it to that area. And then they try to work on it so they can cure it, to take care of it so that it doesn't do what? Spread, because if you leave it unchecked, it will spread throughout the whole body, contaminating the whole body, and then ultimately killing the whole body. What might have started as a little dot in your arm, left unchecked for months, for years, can wind up killing the whole body. And so that's what happens with unchecked sin. And if you don't check it and it just becomes a way of life, and you don't ask for forgiveness and you don't repent and you don't go before God and ask for strength and ask God to fix your situation and to change it so that it could be right to him, that it can be a sweet smelling savor in his sight, then those things that you leave unchecked ultimately winds up contaminating the whole process of your makeup. This is what happened again. The Bible says, look again at verse 13, but the men of Sodom were wicked and sinners before the Lord. Now look at verse 12. Let's back up, if you will. It says, Abram dwelled in the land of Canaan, and Lot dwelled in the cities of the plain and pitched his tent toward Sodom. You see, and one of the things that you're going to see, verse 14 says, and the Lord said unto Abram, after that Lot was separated from him, lift up now thine eyes and look from the place where thou art, northward and southward and eastward and westward. For all the land which thou seest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed forever. Now look at God makes a promise, but he doesn't make this promise to him until he separates himself from that could contaminate him. Look right there in the text. Again, verse 14, and the Lord said unto Abram, after that Lot was what? See, you don't realize the folk you're hanging with could stop your blessings. What you don't understand is you might not be doing it. It's just them. And it's just a part of their makeup. But the reality is, if they are in your presence, in your company, because God knows how contamination can spread, then sooner or later, it'll get to you or that's connected to you. So it may not get to you, but it might get to your son or your daughter. It's still you, it's a part of you, it's connecting to you, because you let that presence remain in your presence. And because God hates even the presence of evil and sin, there are just some blessings. He says, now when you separate from this, when you cut this friendship loose, when you cut this person loose, when you cut this thing or sin or whatever loose, he says, then we'll talk about some blessings ahead. And so it's right there in the Word of God. I want you to look a little further into Genesis chapter 19. Genesis chapter 19. And let's begin, if you will, at verse 12. The Bible says, and the men said unto Lot, hast thou here any besides son-in-law and thy sons and thy daughters and whatsoever thou hast in the city? Bring them out of this place. Now, what is he talking about? He's talking about when the angels visit this city and they're coming down because they're on assignment. And what is their assignment? Their assignment is to destroy the city because of the wickedness of the sin that has reached God's nostrils. And this is what it is. He knows they will not change. When God knows there is no hope for you, when God knows you made up your mind, when God knows that you have turned your back on him, on his word, on his will, on his way, that there is no way to reach you, then what God is going to do is not only separate himself from you, but he's going to get rid of you so that you don't continue contaminating everything that you reach, touch, or in the presence of. So he sends angels down. Look at verse 1. If you'll know that, if you hadn't read this, you'll see it. It says, and there came two angels to Sodom at evening, and Lot sat in the gate of Sodom, and Lot, seeing them, rose up to meet them, and he bowed himself with his face toward the ground. And he said, behold, now, my lords, turn in, I pray you, into your servant's house, and tarry all night, and wash your feet, and ye shall rise up early and go on your ways. And he said, nay, but we will abide in the streets all night. And he pressed upon them greatly, and they turned in unto him and entered into his house, and he made them a feast and did bake unleavened bread, and they did eat. Now the evil men of Sodom continue on, but before they lay down, the men of the city, even the men of Sodom, compassed the house round, both old and young, all the people from every quarter. This stuff had gotten so bad, you had even old messed up men. Wasn't just a young situation with young folk confused and trying to find themselves. This was old messed up men. Listen at him. It says, and they called unto Lot and said unto him, where are the men which came into thee this night? Bring them out unto us that we may know them. Now this word know is the same word connected with Adam and Eve. Know meaning intimate contact, meaning sexual contact. Now these men surrounded his house and demanded that they bring out these two men so that they could rape him. Listen now. And Lot went out at the door unto them and shut the door after him and said, I pray you, brethren, do not so wickedly. Verse 8, behold, now I have two daughters which have not known man. Let me, I pray you, bring them out unto you, and do ye to them as is good in your eyes. Only unto these men do nothing, for therefore came they under the shadow of my roof. And they said, stand back. And they said again, the one fellow came in to sojourn, and he will needs be a judge. Now will we deal worse with thee than with them? And they pressed sore upon the man, even Lot, and came near to break the door. But the men put forth their hand and pulled Lot into the house of them and shut the door. And they smote the men that were at the door of the house with blindness, both small and great, so that they wearied themselves to find the door. Now listen, verse 12 says, and the men said unto Lot, hast thou here any besides son-in-law and thy sons and thy daughters and whatsoever thou hast in the city? Bring them out of this place, for we will destroy this place, because the cry of them is waxen great before the face of the Lord, and the Lord had sent us to destroy it. Amen. Here's what you need to know about sin, especially bad sin. There are, and I've said it before, sweet-smelling scents can only mask bad scents. You don't get rid of bad scents by spraying sweet scents on them. If you're going to get rid of the bad scent, you've got to kill the germs that cause the scent. If you get rid of the germs that cause the bad scent, then you won't have the bad scents anymore. Too many of us misunderstand that God wants us to smell good, to be a sweet-smelling savor before Him. Why? Because we're made in His image and in His likeness. Now listen at this. I mean, in all of our homes, germs are everywhere. Germs are everywhere. But where germs fester, there's always going to be a stench with it. You really don't have to go looking for germs. Just let them fester, and they'll shout out to you, "Hey, we're right here. Smell us." You smell them. Well, then what you have to do is disinfect them. Destroy the germs so that the scent is destroyed. And wherever the scent is, I can promise you there will be germs. You destroy that, and you destroy those things that cause bad sin. Well, how does that translate in our lives? I'm glad you asked. There are some things that we need to know from the Word of God that helps us to understand, to identify the things that cause stenches in our lives that we smell, that we feel, that we know, that bring that nasty smell to God. Listen, if it reaches God's nostril, that means it's festered too long in your life. Heaven and earth are diametrically opposite and are the furthest distance away from each other. And if it reaches God's nostril, what it says is it's been in your life too long. Now, one of the things, again, when we look at that, and there are other areas and issues that we can share with you about that, but I believe you get and understand the point of stench and those things that are bad before the Lord. What is a sweet-smelling savor? It is that has been done according to God's word, God's will, and God's way. Those things that I have taught in this ministry for years. When those things align themselves in our lives, then as Jesus said in John 15, when you abide in the word and the word abide in you, then you can ask the Father what you will. Why? Because you have become a sweet-smelling savor in His nostrils. In other words, you please the Lord. Bible says when a man ways pleases the Lord, He will make his enemies to be at peace with him. He says, no good thing will he withhold from those who walk uprightly before him. Listen, if you don't have in your life the things that you need and desire in your life, check yourself. Because God is saying, I'm not going to hold no good thing from you. So if you are missing some good things in your life, I can tell you the problem isn't with God. I can tell you, listen, if you're walking and that walk is not right before God and it causes you to curve off and then detour from the path, what you've got to be correct about is the path that you're now traveling. Is it the one God wants for you? Because even on the path that you are traveling that God wants for you, it's not going to be a trouble-free path. It's not going to be a problem-free path. But it is going to be a promised path, which is going to get you to where God wants you. And listen, while you are on on that path and all these issues and troubles and trials come up, He has given you the Holy Ghost, who is the other comforter, the paraclete, the one called alongside you to help you in trouble. I mean, He is your AAA, your roadside assistance. You run out of gas, He's going to bring you some gas. You catch a flat, He's going to come fix your flat. You know, your battery goes, He's going to charge you up. He's there to help you whatever you have, roadside assistance. And listen, if you can't go no more, He'll tow you from where you are to a place where you can get repaired. That's the Holy Ghost's job on your journey. Somebody ought to say, thank God for the Holy Ghost. Now look at this. Where are you on your road? What does your life smell like before God? Jesus is our standard for living. He is the perfect example. I'm not the example. I'm not the standard. No man on this earth is the standard or example. Get your eyes off of man. Put your eyes on the Lord. The best man we know has faults.
That's right.
The best man we esteem is undone,
right.
Has some issues. You may not see them because they may be secret sins. There may be issues that he's fighting and he has some control, but he still has issues. Your example is Jesus Christ. That's why Paul said, let this mind that was in Christ be also in who? In you. In me. Why? Because when we know the mind of God, which is the written word of God, it is revealed to us so that we can utilize this word, thus thinking like God thinks. If I want to think like God thinks, then I've got to go to the word and see what he thinks about what I'm thinking about. In other words, if I want to know something about anything, if I go to the word, God has something to say about it. Now, the mind that was in Christ represents the word of God. If I want the mind that was in Christ, then that means I've got to go to the word, because as we've shared and pointed out several times, that when Jesus had been baptized and filled with the Holy Ghost, he was led into the wilderness to be tempted. That's what the record said, of the devil. He fasted 40 days and 40 nights. After that, the devil began tempting and trying everything he could against Jesus. But everything he brought against Jesus, Jesus simply said, it is written. Well, at the time Jesus said that, there was no New Testament. It was only the Old Testament. So he knew the Word of God. He knew the Old Testament. He is the Word of God. He was in that time the Word of God, and he spoke the Word of God.
Amen.
Now listen at this. Because he utilized the Word of God, that was in his mind, that came out of his mouth, that destroyed the works of his enemy.
Amen.
If we want to use God's Word, have to put it in our minds so it can come out of our mouths, so it can do what it's been designed to do. When you speak it, when you release it, those words take on life, the life of the Spirit, which then fights on behalf of the Word or of the Lord or of the one who has spoken it by faith. And if you have spoken it by faith, then God is under warrant to back up his Word just like he did with Jesus. And so that's how you begin to make your life a sweet-smelling savor unto the Lord, because you begin to say what God says. You begin to think what God thought. You begin to operate and to live the way God wants you to. It is a continual process. You're not going to get it in one day.
The teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II offers help for today and hope for tomorrow. Dr. Montgomery would like to know you are being blessed by this program. Our email address is info@greaterkingdavid.org. That's info@greaterkingdavid.org. Our mailing address is The Movement of Christ Broadcast, 911 Lobdell Boulevard. That's Lobdell Boulevard, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, 70806. Visit our website at greaterkingdavid.org, or you may call our office at 225-927-0577. That's 225-927-0577. If you've been blessed by this broadcast, Dr. Montgomery would like for you to do three things. Pray for this ministry, partner with this ministry, and tell others about this ministry. Now, we pray the Lord's richest blessings upon you and invite you to listen each Monday through Friday at this same time for the Movement of Christ broadcast. This is the 70,000 watt voice of the community. KAYT, Gina, Alexandria.
Good morning, and thank you for tuning in to the Divine Word of God, brought to you by Reverend Eugene Stevenson, host pastor of the New Jerusalem Baptist Church of Alexandria and New Jerusalem Baptist Church of Voice, Louisiana. Now let's go into a service already in progress.
My Lord.
Let the church say amen.
Amen.
If you have your source, we're going to the book of Acts, a familiar passage, chapter 16.
Ooh, Lord, at midnight.
And verse 16. That glory, you know, she can hold that.